Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
Well, in the next few moments, I want to talk to us a little bit about how to deal with giants that we face. We talked Sunday in the message on angels and demons as we're in this series. It's been a very interesting series. We talked about the Nephilim. And Nephilim could be translated giants. And the Bible talks about them. They're the result of evil angels cohabitating with human women. And the result is it produced a quasi-human demonic warrior giant race. And so you can learn more about that if you weren't here Sunday. That's what we talked about. What's interesting is it happened before the flood in Genesis chapter 6, and also afterward, it says in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 4. So after the flood, it happened again as demon beings rebelled, and those demons themselves are today chained in the abyss awaiting the final judgment. We saw several scriptures in the Word of God following what it says, because it's really surprising how much it is mentioned in the Old Testament, in Genesis, and again in Numbers, in Deuteronomy, in the book of Joshua, and then again in the book of 1 Samuel. And so it's mentioned throughout Scripture. And then in the prophets, you get it into Amos. In fact, I was reading today from the book of Amos and just in my devotional time, and there was talk about the Amorites and how tall they were, and again, a reference to the giants. But we saw that Goliath, remember David and Goliath in that story, that he was from that race of demonic warrior giants. And there was a spiritual lesson that we learned that I think is especially practical and relevant when we're talking about prayer and our prayer life and what we do, what we've done already, what we're going to do in the next few moments, what we've done both in singing and in calling on God. And the lesson is simply this, that life is just not, it's not just purely physical, it is spiritual. There's a spiritual dimension to life. There's an unseen world, and there are unseen beings, and there is a battle that is happening in your life, in my life, every believer's life, and every unbeliever's life. There is a battle. When David fought Goliath, was it a physical battle or was it a spiritual battle? And the fact of the matter was, it was both. All of life's issues and struggles have a spiritual component. This is why Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 12, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And there are many here tonight, and you're facing a battle. One of the things that invariably will lead me to understand that there is a greater intensity of spiritual warfare is when it's unusual. If it's not natural, it's supernatural.
Yeah, that's right.
And so when I watch something happen, I say, this doesn't seem normal, that this can't be resolved, that this keeps occurring. Then I say, you know what? There's something spiritual going on that I can't see. But I would suggest to you that all of life's battles, it's not just flesh and blood, but there is an enemy who is working through the circumstances of your life and my life to try to trip us up, to try to discourage us, to cause us not to follow wholeheartedly after God's plan and purpose for our life. Some of you tonight, you're facing an unusual battle. It doesn't make sense. And I want to suggest to you that you're facing a giant, that there are demonic forces at work. Really, honestly, if we could see those beings that are principalities and powers, I promise you, they would be gigantic. And so some are facing giants in your finances. Some are facing giants in your family. Some of you are facing giants in an emotional struggle that you're going through. And I'm not saying there can't be physical causes and there can't be other causes that we can put our finger on from the physical world. I'm just simply saying that it's hard to tell where the physical ends and the spiritual begins, or where the spiritual ends and the physical begins. That there is an interlocking of the two that affects the whole issue of spiritual warfare. For some, you're facing giants emotionally. For others, it's with an employee or an employer. For some, it's a medical issue. For some, it's in your marriage. But it's a giant. 1 Samuel 17 gives us some insight, some things to think about as we're dealing with giants. And when you come to 1 Samuel 17, it's set in a valley called the Valley of Elah. And if you ever get a chance to go to Israel, I hope that if you go with us, we try to go there anytime that we can. Sometimes it doesn't work out, but as often as we can, I always say to the guide, hey, I want to go to the Valley of Elah. And he's like, really? You want to go out there? And because there's nothing out there except the valley. I mean, there's no souvenir stand out there. There's no church out there that commemorates the battle. So it's just natural. In fact, here's a picture of it, what it looks like, the Valley of Elah. I think we got a picture. There we go. So what you have is over on the right side, that would be where the Philistine encampment was, and down through the valley, Epis Damin is a location that is kind of in that small knoll there. And then on this side of the valley, this hill would be where the Israelite army was. And then the people, you can see them kind of down on the left-hand side. That's the creek bed where people, tourists continually pick up rocks out of the creek bed. I have seen the creek run water. You wonder where all the rocks, you wonder if they back up trucks at night to dump more rocks out so all the tourists can get their rocks out of the, you know, the five smooth stones. But that's really what it looks like. And so you can picture the Israelites on this side, the Philistines on that side, and David and Goliath fighting out in that field somewhere as David comes up from the brook with his five smooth stones. So we read this in 1 Samuel chapter 17. So the Philistines and Israelites faced each other on opposite hills with the valley between them. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. And he was over 9 feet tall. The average Israelite in that day was probably somewhere between 5 foot and 5.5 foot. And David, being a young man, may not have reached his full height. But Goliath's nearly twice as tall. We read this in verse 8. Goliath stood and shouted a taunt across to the Israelites. Here's what he said in verse 10. I defy the armies of Israel today. Send me a man who will fight me. When Saul and the Israelites heard this, they were terrified and deeply shaken. I want you to notice some of the things that giants do to people. When you're facing a huge obstacle and there's a spiritual component to it, first of all, it can be discouraging. Giants want to discourage God's people. Look at it again in verse 11. It says this, on hearing the Philistines' words, Saul and the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. They were discouraged Every day that giant's there. Every day that giant's taunting them. Every day that giant is saying, I'm here and there's nothing you can do about that. That's the way giants work. Some of you are every single day dealing with the same issue, the same situation, and it taunts you and it defies you. And you're like, what in the world? How can I deal with it? Second, giants defy God and his people. In 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 10, then the Philistine said, this day I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. Three times in that chapter, the word defy there used of Goliath. He's defying the armies of Israel. And David correctly says, when he's defying the armies of Israel, he's defying the God of Israel. That when those giants are coming against you, it's not just you they're against. They're against the God who loves you, the God you serve. Third, the giants want to create doubt that victory is possible. It's so interesting to watch this in verse 23. As he was talking with him, this is David talking with his brothers, Goliath, the Philistine champion from Gath, stepped out of his lines and shouted his usual defiance. And David heard it, and when the Israelites saw the man, they all ran from him in great fear. Why are they running? Because they don't think there's any way they can win. They have great doubt about their ability. They don't think there's anybody in the whole army who can take on Goliath. So that's what giants want you to think. You're never going to make it. There's no hope for your marriage. You're in too deep a pit. You're never gonna, you know, God's not gonna heal you. Remember, you went forward and that happened. It's not gonna happen. That's, giants are saying that to you. The enemy wants you to think there's no hope. It's not gonna change. God doesn't care. Prayer doesn't work. People don't love you. Your marriage can't get better. All those things. It's always going to be like this. Number four, giants don't go away. Look at this in verse 16. This is very interesting. For 40 days. That's a long time. 40 days, the armies are there, and every day it's the exact same thing. 40 days, every single day. Sun comes up. Goliath comes out, Goliath blasphemes the God of Israel and the armies of Israel and challenges them, and for 40 days, nobody does anything because nobody understands that God can help us slay the giants. Finally, David. I mean, David, when that happens, what we just read, David runs with everybody else. David's afraid with everybody else. But David gets a hold of himself, and David does some things that will help us to defeat the giants in our life. Let me just give you four of them, and then we're going to pray. Musicians, you can come. Remind yourself that the battle is the Lord's. In all of life's battles, listen, it's the Lord's battle. What do you need tonight? What is it that you need God to do? If I were to ask you, if Debbie was to ask you, what is it that you need God to do for you? Whatever it is that you would ask or you would say, the battle's the Lord's. Yeah. It's not just your battle. It's not just up to you. It's not just your ability. You see, the reason why up until the time David fights Goliath, the armies of Israel are dismayed and the armies of Israel are afraid is because the armies of Israel do not understand it's not their battle, it's God's battle. When you and I understand that it's not just our weapons and our fighting that gets the answer, it is our praying, but it's God's answering to our praying that wins the battle. Listen to this. David said to the Philistine, you come against me with sword, spear, and javelin. David is framing the battle this way. He's saying, listen to this giant. Listen, there's some physical realities and there are some physical weapons, but I'm not using those. He goes on and says, I come to you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. And he goes on, and we'll look at those verses, the other part of those verses in a moment. But notice the last part, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. That is such a bold statement. He's saying, listen, the battle is the Lord's. And we're not talking about a partial victory. We're not talking about kind of a victory. We're talking about the kind of victory that gives Goliath and the whole army of the Philistines into their hands. Remind yourself, it's the Lord's battle. Whose battle is it? It's the Lord's battle. Whatever it is you need from the Lord, it's his battle. Number two, rely on spiritual weapons. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 says this, just as a reminder, for though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. Listen, we live in the world. We live in a physical world. But we err if we put our confidence in the world's weapons, whatever those weapons are. Hey, honestly, there are some things that can help us along the way, but our confidence needs to be in the Lord going before us, not in the things that we might use. Hey, I'm thankful for medicine. Medicine can heal. But my confidence isn't in a doctor, and it isn't in a prescription, and it isn't in a surgery. My confidence is that the Lord can use those things, and when assisted by his power, it can bring victory. My confidence is not in all the people I know, though I know some wonderful people who can help in certain things, but ultimately my confidence is not in building a better network of relationships. My confidence is that the Lord is able to work. And can he work through relationships? Yes, but he doesn't have to for it to be resolved. It's never a matter of only I knew so-and-so, or if only I could get to so-and-so. That the issue is the battle is the Lord's, and we're fighting with spiritual weapons. So here's David. You come against me with a sword, a spear, and a javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. David is saying, listen, the name of God, it's who he is, it's what he does. There's power in his name. David says, I'm coming against you with a power that's different than a spear, a javelin, a sword, a shield, the weapons of this world. I'm coming against you with a weapon that is divinely powerful. When you come against your problem in the name of the Lord, in the power of the Lord, invoking his help, seeking his face, saying, God, I need you to show up in my situation. I want to see your face in my situation. That's what it means to seek the Lord, to seek his face continually. Psalm 105. This is, hey, God, I want to see your face in my situation. I want to see your face in this decision. I want to see your face in this problem. When you have that heart, what you're doing is, and that's your desire, you're relying on spiritual weapons. He says, this day the Lord will hand you over to me. Who will do it? David's not saying, hey, this day, I'm just telling you, I practiced a long time with this slingshot and you are finished. He's saying, no, the Lord is going to hand you over to me. He's relying on spiritual weapons. Listen, when you rely on spiritual weapons, you get a spiritual power that will give you both a spiritual and physical victory. When you rely on spiritual weapons, what are our weapons? Well, obviously, praise is a weapon. With the praises of God in our mouth and a two-edged sword in our hand, the psalmist says, I think it's Psalm 149. In other words, as you and I are singing, literally, we are doing spiritual warfare. This is why you want to get here from the beginning of any service, because the battle starts right then. Yeah, a positive, faith-filled confession that says, you know what? I believe God's going to help me. You know, I know. I can't wait to see what God's going to do. When you have that attitude, when you speak those words, there is a life and a power that strengthens you. Let me say this. There's something about some of you have not been baptized in water. We'll talk about this in as we're looking at spiritual warfare. But there is a water baptism, whether or not you've ever thought of this, has a huge effect on our spiritual vitality. It's interesting in 1 Peter chapter 3, as Peter's talking about the spirits in darkness and chains, and he mentions that Jesus, when he died on the cross, went down and preached to them, declared his victory over them. And then he says, and this is like baptism. Very interesting statement. That what happens when you and I are baptized, what we're doing is we're saying to the powers of darkness, I'm with him, and I have victory because of him. His victory is my victory, and I have victory over you and the powers of darkness. There's something powerful about that. When you take communion, what you're doing is you're saying to the powers of darkness, just by your act, I'm not going to eat at the table of demons. Paul makes this point in Corinthians. I'm not going to eat at the table of demons. I'm going to eat in the presence of the Lord. And when you do that, when you're taking communion, you're saying, my strength, my help, my joy, my focus, my answer, my life is found at the table of the Lord and in his presence. There's a power, there's spiritual warfare that's happening even in that moment. As you recognize his body that was for you, his righteous life lived for you, as you recognize what his blood did for you, that brings power into your life. And then, of course, you've got Ephesians chapter 6 and all of the weapons. He says, after giving us verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. Then he says, therefore, stand firm. Something about there's a spiritual power. It's a spiritual weapon for you to say, you know what? I will not be moved. I'm trusting God. I'm not running. I'm not going that way. I'm not running from the battle. I'm standing firm in the battle. I am standing firm. I'm a soldier of the cross, and I'm not going to be pushed around by the powers of darkness. I'm going to plant my feet and trust God. There is a power in doing that. And then he goes through and lists all of the shield of faith, extinguishing the fiery darts of the enemy. In other words, when he shoots at you, the different things, and you say, you know what? I'm going to trust God. What if that doesn't work? You know what? I've got faith. I'm not going to let that, what if it doesn't work? What if God doesn't come through? What about this? What about that? Remember, that's what Satan did in the garden. I'm going to lift up the shield of faith, and I'm going to say, my God is faithful, my God is able, and I will trust him, and I will serve him, and I will believe him. And every time you make that kind of affirmation, it does something. Have that helmet, you know, that of salvation on your head. I know what happened to me, and I know where I'm headed, and I know that God is at work in me, and what he started, he will finish to his glory and for my good. That's powerful. That releases power. And take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Anytime you're reading the Word, you're doing spiritual warfare. Do you realize that? This is why to read the Word every day is so valuable, so practical. Or as you're driving to work, to have it playing, you know, to get your app out, have it playing on your phone so that you're listening to it. I was talking to somebody this week at the funeral, and I don't know that they'll mind if I say this, but Ethan Forhetz and Ethan Sarah and I were talking, and Ethan said, yeah, I was listening. He was talking about a unique verse that he said, I always listen between the newscasts. I listen to the Bible on my phone. And, you know, I thought, wow, that is so awesome to hear that. Because, you know, there he is. Before he's given out the bad news, he's listening to the good news. I like that. So anyway, you know, it's just, it's spiritually strengthening to do that. And then he says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of requests. So prayer is a weapon. Well, finally, realize your battle's an opportunity for God's glory. Watch this. This is so good. In verse 46, David says this, today I'll give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the earth, and the whole world will know there is a God in Israel. Don't you love that? You know, when you're in a battle, pray, Lord, I just pray you would answer the prayer in such a way that people would so clearly see it's you that they could only say, God did it. I pray that for the church all the time. Lord, move in this place in such a dimension and to such a magnitude that anybody who looks at it will say, you know what, I know John, so I know it's not him, because what's happening is way beyond him, or way beyond that group of people, really, or those leaders. We got a great team, but I pray it's so much greater what God does that nobody can say it's a great team. They would say it's a great God, right? He says, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves. That people would look and they'd say, you know what? It's not that they were that smart. It's not that they were that persistent. It's not that they knew. It's that obviously God went before them. Listen, people are watching you and I fight the battle.
That's right.
People are watching. Are you willing to say, God, I'm all about whatever you want to bring my way, because I believe you'll help me slay the giants. I believe giants will fall. I believe you will give me victory. Listen, tonight I know there's many, and you're dealing with a giant. And I just prayed through the day, in fact, yesterday meeting with the preaching team, talking about this whole idea of just, you know, giving people an opportunity, giving you and all of us an opportunity to say, Lord, make us strong, give us victory. And I believe tonight's a night of victory. So let's stand in the presence of the Lord. As many tonight, you're facing a battle, you're facing giants, and they're huge. We prayed for you on Sunday, but I believe tonight is a continuation of what God wants to do in giving you victory. So what we're going to do, we're going to open the altars. And I just believe there's something powerful about stepping out in faith. It's like David, who said, you know what? I'm going to step out and face the giant. I'm going to step out and do battle. And when just by coming forward and by praying, by praising God, all the things that happen in altar, you're doing battle. You're taking the battle to the giant, and giants will fall. So right now, would you just, if you're facing a giant, whatever that giant is, just step out and come forward. Let's believe, I'm going to pray over you in just a moment, but let's believe that God is going to help you, that God is going to help you to win this battle, that God's going to strike down that giant. The battle's not yours, it's the Lord's. He is able to do it, and he will do it. So just come on into the altar. We'll give you a chance to do that. Then I'm going to pray over you. We're going to believe God's going to do something really powerful.